505.
Singing, we will follow the footsteps of Jesus wherever they go. Are you ready? Testimony in our hearts should always be that we are ready to follow wherever they go. This morning, as we look into God's word, we are reminded of the time that we're in. We've had celebrated the Passion Week, the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the question that I have for myself and everybody present, everybody listening, is this: has it made a difference? Or how does it affect us? Or how do we respond to knowing that our Lord is risen? This morning, as we look into God's word, we want to turn to the book of Ephesians. In just a few short verses, Ephesians chapter 6. We know that Ephesians only has 6 chapters. And it is interesting when you study God's word and you see what Paul has all compacted in this short book of 6 chapters. He talks about grace. He talks about building the church, about edifying each other. He talks about warfare. And he concludes the book of Ephesians with the power of God. And so we see that it is amazing how God puts it together. But what was the scope of Paul's letter to the Ephesians? See, he had a message to share, a message of grace and love and peace. But the point, really, that he concludes the chapter is warfare. Warfare and power. Laying out the foundational principles whereon they might stand and wherein they might grow. In Ephesians chapter 6, he closes this letter to the church and he says in verse 10, finally. He begins that verse with that. In other words, we might say, from here on. When I think about that, I think about just having gone through the Easter season and having experienced that peace of in our hearts and our minds because Jesus Christ is resurrected. He lives. And Paul says, okay, finally, from here on. I want us to think about that a little bit as we move ahead. As if there was one last thing that he wanted to leave with the church. And he says, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He addresses his fellow believers in Christ. Brothers and sisters, Paul had such a great concern for this new group of believers because he knew that the enemy was out there and he was concerned that they might fall victim and become casualties to the enemy. And so we ask the question this morning, why is Paul's letter so relevant to the church of the 21st century? Because we find ourselves in that same predicament that the people in that time did. And that's why Paul's writes this letter. And I want to say this morning, brothers and sisters in the Lord, whether we are aware of it or not, we are in a spiritual battleground. The enemy is out there lurking, seeking how and whom he can lead astray. And so we find it is so important that we realize that as Christians we are engaged in a battle that exists from now until our Lord will return. Satan's war against God's people comes with a strategy. Or we might say he has a plan of attack. And it's a massive battle that is being fought. Over the control of information and truth. We try to understand that sometimes. Even though when Christ arose, the enemy was defeated. Yet, he still maintains a position of strength while we wait the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we find this is a spiritual battle. It is warfare. It's a battle of the mind, and I'm reminded that Brother Willie shared that a little bit at a Bible study that we had a couple of weeks ago. The battle of the mind. And I know Harold alluded to that this last week when we had Bible study as well. And so we need to understand that why people don't understand the people of God. Why are the unbelievers out there and trying to, sometimes we might say, fix things or understand things we just clash because we're on a totally different page. You know, Paul tells us, the Bible tells us that in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, the God of this world, and it talks about Satan, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. And so that helps us to understand why we have this warfare going on. And that is what we are facing. Friends, it's not person-to-person combat, but we have two different kingdoms that are clashing. And that's what we find. And this is serious stuff. When we think about it, these two opposing kingdoms, or spirits, if you will, they're constantly going head to head. And we know what happens. And Paul says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, Paul takes this so seriously, and he uses military language in order for them to understand how urgent this is, so that he can help his readers understand the urgency of the matter. And he says, put on. Or we might say, it's time to take action. If we're going to stand, we need to take action. We need to put on. Well, we, humanly speaking and naturally, we think as the battles that we face and the battle that's raging, it's against people. Or politics, or possibly different religions. But that's not what it is. That's not what it is. The Bible shows us differently. By design, by God's design, we are created in spirit, in soul, and body. Separate yet inseparable. And so a spiritual understanding of who we are is important as we seek how to identify our enemies. How to identify our enemies. And that we understand that our ultimate enemy is not one that we see. It is a spirit. It's an evil spirit. It's Satan. Sometimes you get the pictures illustrating the enemy as a person with a wicked face and horns, but that's not what it is. It's an evil spirit. And that is what we're facing in the world today. And that is important for us as believers, as it was important for the Church of Ephesus, that they understand what they're facing. Like sometimes I have to question myself, so how am I going to deal with the enemy if I don't know what it's like? And so it is important that we are rooted and grounded in God's word so that we can detect it instantly and not be drawn away from the gospel. And this was one of Paul's greatest concerns for this group of believers, and he's writing this letter some years later to them because it's on his heart that they need to be alert, that they need to be wise. And he says, put on, take action. I want to say it applies to us this morning as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought. Friends, it always draws us back to the mind. That's where the battle is. We know that the Bible tells us that Satan is a liar and the father of lies, according to John chapter 8, verse 44, and is dedicated to the destruction of souls through the controlling of our understanding, speculations, and knowledge, and thoughts. So we need to understand that it always points us back to our minds. The Apostle Paul was deeply concerned about the church. And so it should be our concern as well when we think about that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 and 3, Paul says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy." He brings out his concern here. He says, "For I have espoused you to one husband," or another version might say, "I have betrothed you to another husband," or we could say married, "that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." And he uses the illustration of a man and a woman here. Jesus Christ being the husband and the church being the bride, and he says, "I brought you together." But he says, but I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through this his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted with the simplicity that is in Christ. He says, "I'm concerned about you." Let's try to grasp the significance of this. Paul has shared the truth of the gospel, and he has laid it out for them, and he kind of, we might say, he paved the road so that they could follow him. Follow the footsteps of Jesus. We sang that song this morning. And lead them to this beautiful relationship with Christ. But he's afraid. He's afraid the evil one will make his way in and pollute and distort and deceive them, pulling them away from their dedication to Christ. That is what Paul's concern, that he says that your minds may not be led astray. Friends, we don't have to look far to see that the enemy has succeeded in many areas already. And he's making his way into the church, and he has a strategy that he's working on. In fact, at one point in history, we see that it got so bad that it says in the beginning of the Bible that God saw the wickedness of man and what that was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, according to Genesis 6:5. It got so bad that God put a few of his followers on the boat and destroyed everybody else. And we know that is the flood. That's the great flood. He said, "I'm done with this. I'm cleaning up." Friends, let's follow the footsteps of Jesus. Satan's aim is to control the human mind. And are you ready to go to battle? I trust you are. Trying to destroy every good intention. Trying to bring all lofty things against us. And so we see it is important that we take offense. It says we are to stand In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, one verse I kind of want to close with this morning. And it's to be transformed. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The perfect will of God. Transformation, friends, comes from taking back enemy territory. Coming to realize that where we have fallen back, where we have slipped, that we change the way of our thinking and we take back that territory that we let go. Conflict that we face on a daily basis is so important that we always cultivate our life, our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he arose from the grave. He was victorious over sin and death. And he has given us that power to sustain us in these last days. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. In essence, what Paul is saying, when I'm going to be standing face to face with my Lord and Savior, I do not want to be empty-handed. And that is my prayer for each one this morning as we close this meditation. Whether we realize it, whether we are aware of it or not, you and I face the enemy on a daily basis. But thanks be to God that we have victory in Jesus Christ. Let us just close with a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father in heaven, this morning in closing of this meditation, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the armor, the whole armor of God, to stand against the wiles of the enemy and the principalities of darkness that surround us. And Father, this morning I just pray a special anointing, a blessing on this congregation. Lord, that we would stand together and encourage each other as the soldiers in the line of duty. And if there was ever a time, Lord, that the battle has been intense, it is today again. And we face this battle. And Lord, it's not people, it's not politics, it's not religion, but it's an opposing kingdom that is trying to get attention of our mind. And Father, we pray that your word will declare it through your spirit so that we might have an understanding of who we are in Christ and who the enemy is. Thank you, Lord, for rising from the grave, for interceding for us at the throne of God this morning and at all times. We bless you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, we're going to move over to the Articles of Faith. Article 1. Through 6, those of you that have your catechisms along, page 117. We are going to go through them and I won't spend a lot of time explaining them. They are fairly self-explainable. And we are going to begin with article number 1, of God, the Creator of all things. We believe in our hearts and confess it with our mouth, in the company with all the great patriarchs and prophets and chosen children of God, who have lived from the beginning, inspired by the Holy Spirit in an everlasting, almighty, and incomprehensible God. One who has created heaven and earth and all things, visible and invisible, as stated in Genesis 1. And he still sustains, governs, and supports with his mighty word all things. He is holy, entirely complete. A mysterious spiritual being, as our Savior himself testifies in John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He proceeds from himself and does not need help from anyone. As Paul writes in Acts chapter 17, verse 25, neither is he worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he has given to all life, breath, and all things. He is everlasting, without beginning or end, and eternal, and almighty God, Lord of the heavenly hosts, a King of kings, who is above all, and through all, and in you all, Ephesians 4, verse 6. A righteous judge, 2 Timothy 4:8, and a consuming fire, according to Hebrews 12, 29. A jealous God who will visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate him. Exodus 20, verse 5. He is honest and just. He is holy and merciful. A God of love and compassion. He is a God which no one has seen, nor will see, and dwells in the light to which no man can come. Paul says, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light to which no man can approach unto, whom no man has ever seen or can see? 1 Timothy 6:16. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool, Isaiah 66:1. He is present everywhere. He sees all things, and no one can hide from his presence, so that God will not see him. Proverbs 15:3. For all things are naked and open unto the eyes of whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:13. Of such ever-present God we speak. It is written in Isaiah 42, verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. He is God alone, and no one else. Everything must be obedient to his holy will, for his word is truth, and his commands are righteous. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood. Psalm 33, 4. And verse 9, in the Lord we have righteousness and strength. Before him all knees shall bow and all tongues shall confess him. Isaiah 45, 23 and 24. To this great Lord and God we must cling with a living and an everlasting faith and be obedient to him. For if we want to learn to call our God Abba, dear Father, then we owe it to him to show him childlike obedience, and to love him with all our strength, with all our heart and soul and mind, according to Matthew 22:37. Article number 2. Of the Son of God, we also believe in and confess Jesus Christ, the true Son of the everlasting God, who is called the Word, which has been with God from eternity, the light and glory of his Father, according to Hebrews 1. Through him, the earth and all things were created, as stated in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the epistle to the Hebrews testifies in chapter 1, God, who at sundry times, or we might say in different times and in different manners, spake in the times past unto the fathers through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. Colossians 1:16 states, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him. David states in Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. And the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 3, verse 9, that God has created all things by Jesus Christ. Therefore, we also together with Thomas, according to John chapter 20, confess him as our Lord and God, and with Peter and Nathaniel, that he is the Christ, the living Son of God, who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creation. Colossians 1:15. In Acts 4, verse 12, we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Yes, we confess that he is true God and the eternal life, our Lord, Savior, Redeemer, and salvation. Article number 3. Of God, the Holy Spirit. We also believe in and confess the Holy Spirit, the truth which proceeds from the Father, John 15:26. Of this Spirit, David said in Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He is the only consolation of the afflicted, the power of God from on high, Luke 24. This Holy Spirit leads us in all truth, and all who are moved by the Spirit of God are children of God. Romans 8. Now if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Through this Spirit we examine all things, also the mysteries of God, according to 1 Corinthians 2:10. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, but God has revealed unto us by the Spirit that we are the children of God. In 2 Peter 1, verse 21, we read, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by this Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also moved the apostles of the Lord to speak in many tongues of the mighty works of God, and to praise and to glorify his name before all people. Acts 2. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And through him we praise God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ from now unto all eternity. Amen. Article number 4. Of the Holy Trinity. We believe and confess that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one, Almighty God. As John says in 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear a record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one, not only one or united, but wholly one in action and in will, as well as in accomplishment. In like honor and glory, one not without the other, equally eternal, not three persons or gods, but only one God, the only one and none other. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. Romans 11:33. Yet vast is this godly and blessed mystery in 1 Timothy 3:16, much of which remains beyond our grasp, and God's ways beyond our understanding. Yet they are believable. And in Colossians 1, verse 27, Paul says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, that this triune God is inseparable. Jesus himself teaches in John 4:14-9. For when Philip asked the Lord, show us the Father, and it suffice us, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Believest thou not me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? In John 12, 44 and 45, Jesus says, he that believes on me, believes not on me, but on him that sent me. 1 John 10, verse 30, our blessed Savior says, I and the Father are one. He does not say united, but one. And when the Apostle Paul wants to bless his faithful followers, he pronounces his blessing in the name of the triune God and says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Article 5 of the birth of Christ, Jesus Christ. We believe and confess, as the whole scripture testifies, that he, Jesus Christ, from eternity was born of God and has always been with God. But when the time which God had set for the salvation of the world was fulfilled, he sent his Son, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. According to the holy prophecy of Isaiah 7:14, and when the angel speaks to Mary, she was surprised how this was to happen, for she knew not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, according to Luke 1:34 and 35. This is why the Apostle Paul is filled with wonder when he says in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Jesus Christ became man, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Philippians 2:7. God has also exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, according to Philippians 2:9. Hebrews 4 says, he is sinless and spotless. He was not created like Adam, but is the Lord of heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, he proceeded from the Father and came into the world. Then he departed this world and proceeded to the Father, John 6. And all this he did for our sake, because otherwise we would have remained forever in God's anger and disgrace, into which we all with Adam have fallen. Therefore we believe and confess the birth of Christ as man and his great humiliation. But at the same time he did not relinquish his heavenly majesty and individuality, for in him abides the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2, and remains true God and man in one person, and has saved us all through his suffering and death, and restored what we lost through Adam. For God created man to everlasting life in righteousness and holiness, but through sin and death has conquered all men, because all have sinned, according to Romans 5:12. But God's everlasting love had pity for all, and promised them that the seed of a woman shall bruise the head of a serpent, according to Genesis 3:14 and 15. Yes, God's holy love had compassion. Man being God's glorious image should not be lost. This is why the Lord Jesus came to earth and became man, so that he should help man again and make him blessed, for Christ's whole life and conduct on earth was one of pure love, wherewith he loved us all. Because he was born on earth as a child and gave himself an atoning sacrifice for all the sins of the world, according to 1 John 2:2, our children in their innocence are blessed children of God. And you will find that when you follow that, there is a bit of a change in this article of faith that got changed a couple of 3-4 years ago, when it was sought through by the leadership, and so they made some changes there and reworded it a little bit. He also was burdened by our sins and weakness through his holy life, but of him are we in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, redemption and sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1:30. He was sacrificed for our sins. He died and was buried and was raised again for our justification. Romans 4:25. Wherefore God has also exalted himself and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:10 and 11. In conclusion to this article, we say, thanks be to our Lord Jesus for his suffering and death, when he died and rose again for our sake. For he has thus purchased us with his precious blood, so that we can inherit his heavenly kingdom. To him and his heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit be eternal thanks for his great love. Amen. Article 6 of the Church of God. We confess, too, that God has had, from the beginning, and always will have a visible church, or a people whom he loves. This church he began with Adam and Eve in paradise. Afterwards he kept as his church the pious patriarchs and ancestors with their houses and families. With Noah he renewed his promise, and with Abraham he made a covenant, according to Genesis 17:4. He and his seed should become the chosen people and his possession. This was the church of the Old Testament, the seed of Abraham, the generation of Isaac, and the offspring of Jacob, or the Jews under the law. When, however, in the fullness of time, our Lord Jesus came with his gospel of mercy and grace, he sent his apostles into the world. By the preaching of the gospel and through it, they were to gather a church of all people and tongues who would become converted and believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, these together were to have one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Ephesians 5:4. Those who are united in one faith and are baptized into one body through Christ with God in heaven, and who, having Christ dwelling in their hearts, Ephesians 3:17. In this way, the fellowship of the church was one body, who together without respect of person are one body and one soul through Christ, through Jesus Christ, to support and keep each other in love and in prayer before God, that in the church which, according to Acts chapter 2, God has chosen for himself of every tongue and nation, a people that fear God and live righteously. That is why the Apostle Paul says in the Lord has gathered a church for himself by his own blood, and has cleansed it with the washing of the water by the word, that this church reflects one that is glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, as stated in Ephesians 5:26 and 27. This church will then be called the house and temple of the living God, according to 1 Corinthians 3. It is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, of which Christ is the cornerstone, Ephesians 2:20. This church is also recognized by its faith in the scriptures, which is a faith working in love, Galatians 5:6. It is founded on the pure teaching of scripture and on the godly and just conduct of the members, have with each other, and in the keeping of the commandments of God, as has been taught by Jesus, the head of the church. In conclusion, by faith, we believe that the Lord Jesus, according to his promise, will be and remain with his church and all believing Christians to the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 20, that no power or force of Satan, neither the gates of hell, shall prevail against it, according to Matthew 16, 18. We may come to the true knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ in a real fellowship with God. In real fellowship with God. This we most truly and sincerely wish for all of us unworthy ones from the depth of our heart. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing on the reading of the articles of faith, and it is good for us to be reminded what that means to us. The foundational principles that have been laid out in God's holy word is compacted in these articles of faith, and as we go through them, there we can spend much time in them, exposing them and seeing what it really means to us. And yet we find that we try to get so much into a short period of time, may the Lord just be with us as we ponder upon those thoughts. Before we close in a word of prayer, we have the baptism candidates that have come forward for this season, this year, and it brings joy to our hearts, much greater joy in the heart of Almighty God when he sees that people respond to his Spirit. And so we have two of them that have decided to come forward, and I will read the name, and then I will ask that candidate to stand, and then I will ask the first witness also to stand. The first is Ronnie Dirksen. Father's name is Willie Dirksen. Mother's name is Olga Stace. And the first witness is Willie Dirksen. Please stand. Then we have the next one, Heather Don Voth. Father's name is John Voth. Mother's name is Nancy Harder. And the first witness is John Voth. You may be seated. Please stand. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to encourage us as a congregation, let us make them a prayer matter in our lives. When we decide to follow Jesus, and we say there's no turning back, we have a battle on our hands. And that's where they're at. They have decided to move forward. And I want to encourage us, let's pray for them and keep them in our prayers. Let us just pause for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father in heaven, in closing this morning service, we are so grateful to you that because you rose from the grave, we can be victorious, and we need not walk in fear, nor live in fear, nor be brought under the control of the enemy. But we have the resources given to us in your holy word that we can stand. And when all is said and done, that we stand in the liberty wherewith we have been set free, as Paul teaches us. And Father, this morning I pray a special blessing upon this congregation, Lord, as they move forward, facing the enemy from day to day. May you give them strength. May you be with them. Lord, may you help them put on the armor that is required to stand in the battle that we have before us. Yes, we know that Paul used military language to help them understand the urgency that is before them. And Lord, so we are reminded that we, as soldiers of the cross, need to stand, fight the battle, fight the good fight. And when you call us home, Lord, that we would not be empty-handed. Lord, we pray especially for Heather and Ronnie, and bring them before you, Lord, that they may sense your presence and that they may be strong, strong in the Lord. As Paul teaches us, brethren, be strong in the power of his might. Lord, that we would just latch on to that power that is available to us through the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, to bring honor and glory to your holy name. And that is our desire. Lord, as we conclude the service this morning, may your presence be with us. May you lead us and guide us in truth and to everlasting life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to leave you with a benediction this morning, found in Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. There's just one announcement that I'd like to make. Is next Saturday morning, men's, I understand it's a special men's prayer breakfast. And there's going to be a speaker here, is that right? Okay, so all the men are invited next Saturday morning at 7. Thank you for coming. May the Lord bless you. The ushers, come forward, please.